Thank you, Pastor Tim Schelling, for the things you have said today. Thank you for being here today. You can turn with me to the book of Matthew. We'll be there in just a moment. I'll take just a little bit of a quick moment ahead to share two things with you. One is that we're blessed to have three of our dear folks who are part of our lives at Tri-County, namely Frank and Pam Rose. They're right over here next to my dear wife. And then Dixie Wilkerson. Dixie Wilkerson has been a part of my life for a long, long time. Frank and Pam have been a part of our lives in a very special way. We've had many, many Bible studies in their home. And those are just sort of like sitting under the spout where the water comes out. Those kinds of times together. We've enjoyed them and thank the Lord for them. And we praise the Lord for all of His blessings. It's a joy to be with you today. You have made our lives in these past months very, very special. It has been a privilege for me to sit there where Sandy is seated this morning and watch her play and see her joy and delight in it. And just to be a part of the services and to share the times I've had here by Sunday school and other message times, and I treasure it greatly. Should mention, therefore, quickly, and then we'll be right into the sermon, that tonight I'm going to share the message from the book of Acts chapter 28. Now, I am a Bible person like Tim. We think so much alike. So I'm going to say this to sort of tease your brain, and I'll fix it each time I say it so that you do not think I'm a heretic. But My title is sort of to tonight, is Acts 28 really finished? Are we missing a chapter of the book of Acts? There are 28 chapters in Acts. Are we missing a chapter? Now, I don't think we are, if you're just sort of barely listening to me. But you will have to agree with me tonight as you come, and I hope you'll all be here, that Acts 28 really ends rather oddly. Or does it? Is there a piece missing?
No.
But we'll have a good time. So I want you to come. I've never done that message before, nor this one this morning for that matter. But I want you to do that tonight, and we'll have a great time. And we're going to have dinner on the grounds. And this is my last thing before we get preaching. And John said to me earlier that he was going to say to his dear pastor that he, John, what, 6 hours yesterday? Clean the ground so that you can actually eat off the ground today. Because we weren't saying, and I weren't sure, but there were going to be tables outside. But we're going to be eating inside. And you have to taste our ham. It looks so good. I want a part of it this morning. We'll have a great time together. Please stay and eat with all of us. We'll have a great time. Now, let's get at it. That which we're here to do. The book of Matthew chapter 28. Look with me at these great verses as this great chapter ends. Jesus is now resurrected. That's a powerful thing for me to say to precious young lives over here. We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you become 14 and 16 and 18 and 25 and 28 and 30 and 35 and 40, everything is anchored in the precious Word of God and the absolute reality that Jesus Christ is alive today, seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, because He lived here, but He didn't save us because of His teachings. He bled and died on the cross and then proved the power that He was as God when He rose from the grave. And so He is in that position as He now speaks, having already died, having come back from the grave after the 3 days and three nights. Jesus, in verse 18, came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." What a statement. "Go ye therefore." Here's why we're here. Here's why the building is here. Here's why you're here. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And when Matthew in its 28 chapters finishes there, in essence, it sets the stage for everything we are today. We didn't read this next chapter, and I'm going to go to the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. If we didn't read this verse, we would still be perfectly in the right spot right here for all the things we're going to say. For you look at verse 19 and that front word, "go." "Go ye therefore," because of who I am, Christ says, because of what I want you to do. Go. What a powerful word. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8, one of the verses we all love so dearly, And if you're an action person, this is an action verse. It says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There's a promise. Now we're going to talk about the wonderful mandate. That's the word we're going to use today. The wonderful mandate from God that we so gladly obey. Here it is. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, I know you know what that verse shows, but the country boy in me, and that's a part that I enjoy, remembers dropping in a real still portion of Spruce Pine Creek, throw a little pebble out there, and when the pebble dropped into that little clear pool of water, there was the center of what became a circle ever widening. And when the pebble hit, that's Jerusalem. And if you look at the verse, as those little waves from that pebble spread out, there's Judea, a little wider circle, and a little wider circle into Samaria, including those who were not Jews by birth. And then the ever widening circle till the little ripple goes all the way to the bank, as far as it can go, to the uttermost part, I like that word, of the earth. It starts and it moves, and that's why we're here. Let's pray together. Father, use your word today to bless us, to inspire us, to encourage us, that we might leave here today deeply, totally dedicated to doing your sweet will because of all that you've done for us. Speak to those who need Christ as Savior. Encourage every Christian here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our word today on which we focus is the wonderful mandate of God. Mandate is not a man dating another man, for that's anti-biblical. Mandate is simply a wonderful opportunity to hear what God has declared to us. Mandate is God's order. We obey a mandate. In Matthew 28, when that go is there in verse 19, and it says go, then we go. We obey. I want us to say, and I may not always say it through this, so I'm going to drive the word mandate into our heads today till you get tired of hearing it. I'm going to do that on purpose. But we are going to obey the mandate of God sweetly and lovingly. We're going to be a lovingly, sweet, obedient people for God. And if that can be properly, please let me say to our young people again, because I have such a heart for you, if you can learn early to be lovingly obedient, God's blessings pour out to people who are willing to be lovingly obedient to Him. Not living in the kickative mode, not living in the contrary mode, not living in a down attitude mode and always mad at somebody, but saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do as far as church? That's why we're here today. This beautiful building is a good reason to be here. You have a beautiful place to be. But that's not the mandate. The mandate is not to go build beautiful buildings. The mandate is to go into all the world and to preach and teach the gospel and baptize believers so that we can see others reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the right sense, and we'll talk about your pastor, our pastor, he is mine as well. When we look at people as you are precious in the sight of God. Now we're all sinners, either saved by the grace of God already as we are here now, or needing to be saved today by the grace of God. So we bring nothing of ourselves in beauty, and at the same time, having said that, we are all precious in the sight of God. And so you as precious saints in this church and attenders here, you are a powerful motivation for this place. But you're not the reason we're here. The reason we're here is the mandate of God. It is because He said go, to which we then lovingly respond to Him. How perfect when 32 years ago, we, and really this gamble a little early than that, and I'll say that in a moment, when we were privileged to find, in my mind, and you agree with me, and if you don't, then please work on your brain a little bit. When we were blessed to be able to get the man we believed and the dear wife with him for Tim and Vicki Schelling to come to the work at Northern Kentucky Baptist Church and be here. But I say that to say this. They are still not the reason. This building is not the reason. The beautiful chandeliers are not the reason. It is still the mandate of God. It is because God says, go ye into all the world. I promise you, God says, I'll give you power for it. That's Acts 1:8. But you're going to start the ripple effect and go and go and go and go beyond there. Let me give you a point so that we get right into the message time in a simple direction. Number one, this mandate goes to your heart. Now, that's why we will stay lovingly obedient to Him. I said to a young man who comes to our house most every evening after Wednesday night church time, we have a Bible study together. And I said to him about 4 weeks ago, all you and I, and I've known him since he was a baby, all you and I want to do, he's like an extra son to us, all you and I want to do, now I'm talking as a grandpa level nearly to him, all you and I want to do, John, is simply obey the will of God and do what He wants us to do and have an impact on the lives of others by the power of God. That's where we're starting today. This mandate, this go from God, this mandate from God goes to your very heart. It is a command. It is a command to show up. It is a command to speak up. And it is a command to go gladly to do God's perfect will. When we were blessed to begin this, it didn't really begin, therefore, in 1980. I am saying the right number for when we started. I'm looking at my mathematician down there, my dear wife. We were blessed already to be involved in missions. That would have been in some ways because of Norwood Baptist Church in Norwood, Ohio. It was to a large degree. I had not been out of that kind of a background as a kid. It was a large degree that Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which, by the way, part of its little logo was the church with a green light, which kind of goes with our go, and it had a sign outside with a green light on it. But part of this came from the fact that Dr. Lee Robertson taught us demonstration by the missions conferences about what they did by supporting over 100 missionaries, that it was right for the church to give part of itself away financially to go and reach others for Christ, to obey the mandate. So there we saw it. So for our 7 wonderful years there in that precious place, I-7, C-6, we were there together. This mandate of go and do was as simple as could be. And so when we came back, we began to get deeply involved in missions at Tri-County Baptist Church. But Norwood had done it. In fact, the church that's in Madeira Baptist Church was a church that Norwood started in 1958. They started another one, I believe, about 1955 or 56. And it was in a place called Eastwood. I was in that Eastwood Baptist Church. It didn't make it. In fact, it's under the Pepsi-Cola building right off of I-71. So it's not there. Madeira is still there. They've gone through some difficulties, but they're still functioning. We were begun by them in 1961. There was a Bible study at Runyon School in Sharonville. There was then a Bible study and services beginning in the Shillitoes, which you do not remember that name unless you've been in the shopping world for a while. But those were precious pieces. But still, it comes back to what we are to do because God is to be a blessing in our lives. And it comes from our own hearts. The command to go and to show up and to grow up and do what God wants us to do. So when we then had the privilege of saying, can we go beyond ourselves? Then this is what happened. We didn't look at anybody's book. It just seemed like a natural thing we should do. If we, and this was probably said in about 1976 or 77, if we'll start saving some extra money out of our missions giving, then we will have a nest egg. So that when we then call a man, we'll already be able to pay him full time. It was silly in our mind that poor guys and gals had to go to a brand new place and nobody was behind them. So when we called your pastor, who is still here, and his dear wife, we were able to do just like Tim said. And I may call him Tim somewhere as the friend, Pastor Schelling, in my relationship. we were able to have that money so that we could pay their salary and their health insurance and never expect one penny of it back, because that was not it. It was not a borrow kind of program. And so the plan was, we will do this for 5 years. We were already set. By the time he showed up, we were ready. And then at the end of 5 years, if we need to, we will do a sixth year. And so we paid the salary for a sixth year and the insurance. We didn't put any punishment on him if they weren't quite. But by then, everything was ready here. Tim had done all the scouting, found this place, found these properties, the Lubrick property and the other from Thomas More, pulled all this together. And you know the story on that. I'll not even take time to get into that part of it. But all of those things were there so that we got to do it. Why? Because we believed that this mandate was to come from our hearts. And I'm saying to us together as Northern Kentucky Baptist Church that this mandate of serving and building and doing and listening to our pastor and obeying the will of God is to come from a sweet spirit of saying, "Oh God, what do you want me to do?" You look in your Bible and you can find an Absalom. Now listen to me very carefully. Who resisted everything that was right essentially all of his life. And guess what? Hung by his hair in the oak tree. And you can find a David who did some evils in his life, and we know of the things that he did that were wrong and sinful, but he was a man after God's own, come on, help me. He was a man after God's own heart. There was a yieldedness and a submission, and a ministry here in Northern Kentucky Baptist Church really is to be a demonstration of the yieldedness of the lives of all of you dear people in this place. It is us together. It is a go that shows in our emotions. Quick illustration. Several years ago, we were on vacation in February in Colorado. We hadn't done that. Maybe the first time we ever went in the winter. And we decided we would go snowmobiling. I'll do this fast. And I've been on a snowmobile once up in Wisconsin. But I like things like that. And so my dear wife unwittingly went with me. We got up early. We were in Colorado Springs in a motel at a Hampton Inn. Got up early, drove to Woodland Park, ate a hamburger real quickly at this restaurant where the floor sloped down like this, and I think it's still there. And we got out to where this place, a big tent, you could get all the paraphernalia. I don't take time to go through all that. And I wanted to be up in the front of the line. I don't know why. It was just something I wanted to do. Well, here is the guide, and we got the snowmobile behind him. So I'm sitting there, and Sandy's like a little frog up behind me on the snowmobile. We're all dressed up, got the shoes on and the helmets and all those kinds of things. And I thought we were just going to take a leisurely trip out through the mountains and around, because it's up near a big mine and a lot of open space. And so I was ready for a casual trip. Well, when he says we're ready, and I was number two, when he said we're ready, he opened that throttle up and off he went. And I thought, hallelujah! I pulled that dude down. I almost lost my little buddy behind me. Off we went. I mean, the snow is flying and we're having a ball. I'll not go through the many times I nearly lost her in that time. But we stayed up at the front the whole time. And it was one of the most delightful times in my life. You know why? I like that sort of thing. You know why I'm saying that to you? That's the way you ought to do church. Why do you want to get in the back and drag around and fuss about where you're going? Why don't we all get up in the front of the bus, right, and be a cheerleader and say, "Lord, we're doing your mandate to go and to build a new church in NKBC because we love doing your sweet will." And maybe one of the best things to do for us today is to get out of our kickety mood, out of our contrariness, and say, "Oh, Lord, I surrender my heart and my life and my will to whatever you want me to do." And I'm telling you, that's the reason this church is here and its buildings are here and its pastor and wife and family are here. And that's the reason we should say that's the reason we're here. To do the Sunday school, to do the buses, to do the sound, to do the cleaning, whatever it might happen to be, to fix the ground so that you can eat off the ground. We are here in a sweet heart spirit to do the will of God. That's the way it ought to be. I'm 72 years of age nearly. We used to have some antiques in our house. We have very few now. You can have them, and I'm glad you do, and I like antiques. But I do not live in an antique mentality. I like locomotives. I don't like locomotives sitting on a side yard somewhere and they haven't been fired up in 30 years. I'm not interested in that. Are you? Now, again, you. But now I'm talking to the older ones with the gray hair and the no hair. If you're interested in what happened yesterday and you're not busy thinking and being concerned about what can be done tomorrow, you need to change your heart right now. I'm not saying get saved. You already know the Lord. But if you're living in the past, you're living in the wrong direction. Alzheimer's will catch you quick enough without wanting to live back there. Get out of that locomotive that's sitting there and got rust all over it, or get in one that's all cranked up and let it run its 100 miles an hour across the prairie. Be busy doing the will of God. We're not parked, we're not quitting, we're not stopped. And see, that's why this building and this property are just another launching pad so that you can do more and more and more for the glory of God. Number two. I'm looking at the Matthew 28:19 portion again. This is a mandate from, and we've said it, but now we make it a point. Number one, this is a mandate that goes to your heart. Number two, this is a mandate from God. It is Master. I've been reading a lot in Luke chapter 5. Jesus says to Simon Peter, launch out into the deep. And Peter says, we've toiled all night. And he called him, you know what he called him in your Bible? Called him Master. Nevertheless, at what? At thy, let's look at it real quickly. Luke 5, just have a minute to do it. When he says what he's going to do, Jesus says, launch out. That's verse 4. Simon says, we have toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. At whose word? At James' word, his partner? At Andrew's word? No. At Daddy's word? No, not so. At thy word. I may be where you're not. I believe in the direct creative work of God, that we're not here by accident or by evolution. I believe that God had 6 days of perfect creation in which He did that and rested on the seventh day. And He didn't have to have the seventh day. He demonstrated, by the way, the seventh day is very important because He rested then. He demonstrated that we should have a time to be busy serving Him on that day. And we've let that go. And now the schools are telling us we're not supposed to believe the other six happened as I've just described them to you. I believe that God said, let there be light. I believe that God gave the dictum to Moses so that Moses would let the people go, that God would let them through Moses. I believe that Abraham went out because God said so. I believe that Mary obeyed the voice of the angel as the angel spokesman for God said to her, you're going to have a child. Everything comes back to it is the will of God and the word of God and the way of God. And nevertheless, at thy word, I will. And so you do not build a church for self. This is not a monument. Monuments crumble. Build a church for the glory of God. To be obedient to the will of God. To be obedient to Him. Judas was disobedient to everything that God's will demonstrated. I guess I should hit you again with it lovingly, and I mean it lovingly. Are you a Judas mentality person? Boy, that will sting. Judas was a betrayer and a schemer and a liar, and liars shall be friars, and he was and is. But are you living a Judas? Are you mad because your husband walked away from you 30 years ago and you've had a hard life? If you're still living in a kickety mood, we're back to that word again. It's time to get it right, because it's time to obey the will of God. We obey Him from the heart. That's the fruit of this work that is here. That's why these precious souls are saved week after week, and the blessing of doing the work of God. Number three. Number one was, it goes to your heart, this mandate. Number two, this mandate is from God. It is what the Master says. It is what we do lovingly for Him. And number three, it is a mandate for us. And what I mean by that is, not the angels. The angels saw the Google Earth maps that are on your computer before you did. The angels can move around without tax on their gasoline. The angels do not have to spend money, $3.89 on gasoline. The angels can get from here to Africa. Joel and Kelly Simkus took a little longer than that. But the angels were never given the responsibility to evangelize the world. Now we know that, but we don't really act like we believe it. We spend the gas money. We send the missionaries. We do the work. It wasn't Tim's responsibility to dream up Northern Kentucky Baptist Church. I mean that lovingly. He could have done it, and he may well have done it, but it wasn't his job to dream up Northern Kentucky Baptist Church. It was God implanting on TCBC that we were to do it. We have the right person perfectly for it. We only wanted one, and we got him, and he's still here. But it was for us to do. Mommy, I don't want to make my bed this morning. Would you make my bed for me? Mama, would you make me some toast? Because I really don't want to get up and go over to the toaster and put that toast in and wait that minute and a half for it to come up. Mommy, I really like to work for a company, but I want them to give me special things so that I can have more money than the person next to me. And I just really like working in a gimme, gimme world. Would you grow up? There's a city not very far from here, and I know it very well because, and I mean this generally, because a whole lot of my cousins live there. And I'm from Casey County, this wonderful state. Almost heaven is West Virginia, and the real heaven is therefore here, Kentucky, or maybe Tennessee. But that particular city to which I refer had industry and industry and industry and industry and industry. They became a lazy, trifling, no-good bunch. That isn't how they were taught out of the mountains. And they grew up there and they decided, this is a place where I'm going to get anything and everything I want. Well, one by one, the companies moved away. And now that city in our local area is in desperate straits, filled with people who are really struggling. Because it was in a sense that nobody wanted to work and try. Now, I know that's an overstatement to make a point. Is that the way the church is? It's always somebody else's work. We get the data from God. There's a need to go build a work in South Africa. We sense our duty from God that we want to go and do it. And then we say, my devotion leads me to go. It's the data of the information from Him and attached to what my heart says so that I will do what my sweet Lord tells me to do. Number four, it is a mandate with power. I'm looking at verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. Ye shall receive power. I happen to like, and I may make an enemy out of this, I happen to like old guns and things like that. I like to hunt and don't get to do it very often. When I was a little bitty boy, my dad had a broken N.R. Davis double-barrel 16-gauge shotgun that had not been broken earlier. He used it to hunt. He'd bought him a new Remington 48, and I have that gun, by the way, and I have the other one now, too, for that matter. And I would go hunting with him. He would take the loaded gun. We went quail hunting. There were lots of quail in Kentucky then. There are very few now. And I would have the NR empty. No shells. I didn't have shells in my pocket. I had no shells. But I was required to go through the fence as carefully as he. I would hand my gun to him while I went through the fence. And then I would stand on this side of the fence and I would get my gun back, the 16-gauge, and I would get his 12-gauge Remington, and I would stand there with the guns pointed the right direction while then Dad would come through the fence. And he taught me as a little boy my own personal responsibility that was there. And I had this powerful thing in my hand that had no shells. God didn't send you out to hunt bear with an empty gun. God didn't send you to do the work at Northern Kentucky Baptist Church without power. And the blessing of God on this church is still growing and being a powerful truth because the power of God is here. Oh God, do not take your power away from me. Oh God, do not take your power away from me. Every husband here should be scared to death to be a husband with kids. 2 or 3 or 5 or 8 or 10 or 12 or 15. Because it's a bigger job than you can handle. Except for the power of Almighty God. And He cares for us in our homes. He cares for us in our business. He cares for us in our health. He cares for us in our church. It is power from Him. Pure, divine power from God. Swept along we are in the work of God as we're compelled and propelled by the power of God and the will of God. And therefore, what here is at Northern Kentucky Baptist Church is to be a natural outcome of the work of God. It is His work to do what we are to do. Trust and obey. Let me give you a couple of verses real quickly. I'm in Acts chapter 1. I just drop over a chapter. Let me show you something. Now, I'll not have time to do it now because I just don't have time to do it. But I have 28 verses written down of 28 chapters. You have to go through the book of Acts sometime and mark down all the things about the evangelistic mood of God. But I'm in chapter 2, verse 41. That's just a little sampler. Here you go. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word, this is when Peter preached the sermon at the day of Pentecost, were baptized just exactly like Matthew 28, 19, 20 says. They were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so the church is growing here by the power of Almighty God. Two more quick verses. That's chapter 3. Look in chapter 3. This is where the lame man shows up. Look at his name in God's name in verse 16. The Lord's name, really. His name, and His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He was lame from his mother's womb, and now he's leaping and jumping and praising God because he had faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And what is your faith right now? I'll leave the other verse for a different time. And what is your faith right now? Is it in your... Now, let me go to these in the 30s and 40s. Is it in your health? Is it in your health? You can't get a bum knee? You can't have a bum liver? I mean, you really expect to be able to work till you're 65, and so you're spending all of your money now, and you don't need to save any now, you don't need to try, because you are superior to the ills of this world, and you'll just be fine. Well, then you must be God. You must be God. Because only God can determine things like that. It is the power of Almighty God. This mandate flows from the power of God into our lives. So what do? Day by day, you say, Lord, if Thou wilt, I'm willing to work for You. I'm willing to be the mother I ought to be. I'm willing to be the teenage guy I should be. This piece of the mandate is really just one little simple piece of the puzzle, because the mandate for the church is number one, and the motive for the church is number two, we're not even going to talk about today, and the methods for the church are number three, we're not even going to talk about today, but the manner of the church is number four, and I'll just give you this much of it right now. The manner of the church is that we be pure, righteous servants for our living God. And the power of God doesn't flow into a dirty dish. Mandate. Let me give you number five, and I don't want to say it and leave it. The mandate comes with some hurts. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, I go to a verse that's rather interesting in the very first part of the chapter. Paul was consenting unto the death, that is, of Stephen. Mentions the things that are there. And then in verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Hurts. Chapter 7 is a sermon, really a story, by one of the greatest men I've ever known in the Bible named Stephen. He was a man full of the Holy Ghost and full of power. He was a man ready to do what God says. And Saul had him killed. Stood there, Saul talks about it even later, and held the coat, laid them at his feet, of those who stoned Stephen to death. The mandate will come with some hurts. When you do the sweet will of God, somebody will zing you along the way. They will take your parking space. They might even take your... I had a guy say to me the other day, they might even take, by the way, your spot where you sit. I had a guy say to me the other day, honestly, in fact, it was at breakfast Wednesday, that he came to Tri-County, he was already a Christian, thank the Lord. He came to Tri-County Baptist Church some years ago. He was in a morning Bible study with me. He just came to visit us one day. He started to sit down on a Sunday morning, and this lady says, "You've got my seat." Now, I didn't know that till this past Wednesday. So I don't know which lady it was. You'll have some hurts, right? You'll get your feelings hurt. Somebody will think you're a dirty, rotten dog, and you know you're not. You don't even smell bad. If you're going to go through life and assume that everything's going to be just a bowl of cherries, you've been living in some sort of a plastic world that I do not understand. When you do the will of God, there are some heartaches come with it. And here, they're scattered. They have very little money. They have no place to live, as it is in situations with Jesus. He had no place to lay his head, our precious Savior. And so I'm simply telling you, do not let your feelings be the dictator of your obedience to God. In other words, as we learned in our Sunday school class here at this very church this morning, as Gary taught us and showed the material that was there for us, we're to get over some of our attitudes. And maybe that's where you ought to hit the pew today and hit the front of the church. If you've been mad and not supportive of NKBC because somebody did you dirt, got your spot, didn't invite you to the supper that you knew that they had, you invited them to your house and they never invited you back, when are you going to get freedom from that? There's at least one teenager here who's mad at Dad. And he may still be there. I mean, I don't mean he's left you and gone. You're just mad at him. And you stay mad at him. We ate the other night with our son and daughter-in-law, and therefore our grandson. Our grandson had done a boo-boo that disqualified him from yesterday's ball game, which I guess got rained out. He didn't get to play that one, and he would have been playing today. But it was on him. His father was angry. His mother was angry. I mean, it was really a terrible supper. And he was very quiet. Because he did not have the right, because of his wrong, to be mad at his daddy. It was on him. It was on him. And I'm telling you that in our world today, it's on us to keep our hearts right with God. Number six. It is a mandate with names attached. Oh, just listen to the beautiful sound. Paul, Peter, James, John, Barnabas, Dorcas, Mary Magdalene, from whom came the seven devils, Luke, Timothy, Epaphroditus, Aquila, Priscilla. I could go on and on and on with these who carried the work of God in their hearts as they built the church of God. Can I do it here? Oh, if I knew all of your names by heart, which at TC I would have known, but I do not know all of them here. There's Aquila. There's Priscilla. Aquila was the hubby. There's Priscilla. There's Priscilla. And there's Priscilla. And there's Priscilla. And I know Frank's at Aquila. And there's my precious Priscilla right there. And on and on and on. You're one of those names. Aquila in the Bible, no negative ever spoken against him. Priscilla went with him anywhere and everywhere so that they could do the work of God. And that's where it is here. There are names attached to the work at Northern Kentucky Baptist Church that should not be on a plaque outside, but are like an honor roll of those who have paid and loved and sacrificed. And so when you dig in your pocket on Sunday morning and bring out your tithe, you're doing it because you're saying, I am an Aquila, I'm a Priscilla. This work is for me. My name is attached to the ministry in this place. I pray that nothing ever takes the power away from Northern Kentucky Baptist Church in any way, through its ministry, through its leaders, or through something any one here would ever do. And the last thing, the mandate is still calling you. It's not done. We're not done. The Macedonian call has come over and help us. And God's call is fresh and new in your life right now. Or maybe the wire is cut. Maybe your spiritual computer doesn't work anymore. No. Whoa. Don't go there. God is still God. His voice is still clear and clear. The mandate is still crystal clear. And we on this end are to say, Lord, I hear you. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. That's Northern Kentucky Baptist Church. And that's you as a part of it. Let's bow our heads in prayer before the Lord. Father, this church has a great work to still keep on doing for you. May it never stop. May every heart here today obey your precious mandate, and may we do it lovingly. May your will be done in this place. May precious souls come to you, even those who need Christ today, who are without him today. May you have your way in our lives right now, for Jesus' sake.
With me to number 337. Number 337, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. As we think about the mandate that Brother Lewis preached to us about today, it's our responsibility to obey, isn't it? To do what God has called us and asked us to do. If God is speaking to you this morning about your service to the Lord and about your walk with the Lord, we want to invite you to make that decision to say, Lord, I want to be involved. I want to, first of all, know you as my Lord and Savior. And I want to follow you in baptism and live for you and serve you and do what God wants you to do today. Would you stand together with me as we sing our song of invitation? If you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, we invite you to come and put your faith and trust in Him. If you need to follow Him in baptism, we invite you to come as well. And there are some folks that are going to be baptized today, so they're going to come. In fact, let's see, is Matt still in here? Okay, I need somebody to run down and let Brother Ken Haney know that, so that the junior church can come up again. They're going to come up for baptism. Okay, Brother Mike, if you'll do that real quick. Oh, I already got it. Good. There'll be some folks to be baptized today. If you've never followed the Lord in baptism, you can come and present yourself, and we'll make arrangements for you to be baptized at a later time. If you need to come and just say, Lord, I've not been involved in this mandate and taking the gospel and witnessing and winning people and reaching people. Many of us have family members that we need to take the gospel to and that we need to reach and be praying for. And let them see Christ in our life and see our faithful service to the Lord. And maybe some of you that you say, this is the kind of church I need to be a part of. We invite you to unite with us and serve the Lord with us. If God's speaking to your heart, you come while we sing together on the first verse, number 337.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and trust and
sing that second verse. If the Lord's speaking to you, you come while we sing on the second.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, sigh or a tear can abide. trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Sing that third verse as we sing. If the Lord's speaking to you, you come while we sing it.
Not a burden can bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief for a loss, not a frown or a cross, there is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you, and you may be seated. While the young people are coming in, we're going to ask our ushers to come and help us, if you would, gentlemen, with the offering this morning.
Before we do that,
We'll get Mike in just a minute. All right, let's have our ushers come and help us, gentlemen, if you would, with the offering. If you filled out one of those communication cards, if you'll drop those in the offering plate, we'd appreciate that so very much and encourage you to be let us know of your visit with us. Or if you are a first-time adult visitor, if you'll take that on your way out to the Welcome Center in the lobby, you can receive a new Bible there as you leave this morning. I want to invite you to join us as we give today. It's always a privilege and an honor to give to the work of the Lord, to obey Him in bringing our tithes, and then to honor Him in giving our offering. And we appreciate your faithfulness, and we encourage you to do that today. Brother Dick Walker, would you come and lead us in prayer? Ask the Lord's blessing on this offering. And while we are receiving the offering, we're going to make ready to baptize, and then as soon as we're done with the offering, we'll baptize, and then we'll finish up this morning.
Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be in Your house, and what a joy it is, Lord, to give. We have been given so much more than we deserve. We are a blessed people. A form of worship is giving our tithes and offerings, Lord. Would You just take this for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Brother Lou well preach, that's to start here and literally spread literally throughout the world as we do the work of the Lord. And part of that work is taking what You've already provided for us and giving it back to You, Lord, where it'll have the best, as many boxes of Bibles are evidenced here on the floor today. They'll go into some hand that probably never saw a Bible before. They'll read a message that they've never seen before, all because somebody gave. And Lord, thank You for giving us the greatest gift of all, Your Son, the gift that keeps on giving. Help us be ever mindful that perhaps today Christ would come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We have several young people who are going to follow the Lord today in baptism. As I mentioned last week, we try to encourage you and them to understand that when we follow the Lord in baptism, it is not the water that takes away our sin, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these folks that are being baptized have trusted the Lord as their Savior, put their faith and trust in Him, and now as a public testimony of that, they are following Him in baptism. As we take them under the water, they're identified with the death and burial of Christ. When we bring them out of the water, they're identifying themselves with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, angel, in obedience to the divine command of Christ Jesus, my Lord, and upon your profession of faith in Him, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. God bless you again. Gabe, angel, in obedience to the divine command of Christ Jesus, my Lord, and upon your profession of faith in Him, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of His death, and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. It has been done as the Lord has commanded, and yet there is still room. Amen. We thank the Lord for these young people that have come to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I'm going to ask you to pray for them that they'll continue to grow in the Lord and live for the Lord and serve the Lord. Let's see. Is Brother Andy in here? Not sure if he is. All right. Miss Sandy, if you want to play for just a moment, give me time to change and I'll be right out there, and we have a couple of things we need to take care of before we finish up.
Get the other deacons to come up, Brother Gary and Brother Dave, please. It's not going to be easy. This is an honor to have our pastor serve for 32 years. Little Lou, you never know how much it means to my family, the vision you had for this church. Yeah. It means a lot. When Miss Angel come, she has something she wants to read. And then Brother Paul.
Outside of my parents, there's only been one other couple that has been a constant, consistent, godly example in my life. And that is my preacher and his wife, Miss Vicki. 31 years ago, a young preacher knocked on my parents' front door and said, We've started a new Baptist church down the road, and we'd love to have you come visit. My mom, not being able to come to the door at the time, yelled out the window, "We'll be there." And we've been here ever since.
Amen.
I don't remember a time in my life when I haven't been here. Miss Vicki led me to the Lord at the age of 8, and then led me in reinsurance at the age of 22. My preacher encouraged me to go to a Christian college, and when I thought I had decided I wasn't going to do that, Miss Vicki said, "Oh, yes, you are." And before I knew it, I was on my way to PCC. Then, 4 years later, I was on my way down an aisle for my preacher to marry me. Now, Michael and I have the privilege to raise our 4 children under the same preaching and love that I was raised. Praise the Lord for His goodness. We've been here through the good times, the tough times, and our preacher just faithfully keeps on preaching the word. I love this place, my preacher, and my preacher's wife. I couldn't imagine my life without it. Thank you, Preacher and Miss Vicki, for your faithful 32 years of service to the people of Northern Kentucky Baptist Church, and more importantly, to the Lord. We love you and appreciate all you do.
Amen.
Years of faithfulness. That's a long time for a pastor to be at one church. I could be wrong about this, but I think I'm pretty on with it as far as the length of time that pastors today make it in a church is about 3.5-4 years maybe. But when I think of a pastor and I talk about my pastor to other people, I think of 3 things: patience, long suffering, and most importantly, compassion. Compassion not only for me and my family, but compassion for this church. And the church are the people. All you guys. I know he prays for you. I've been in staff prayer with him continually for the past few years, at least seven years. And I know his heart for you guys. He loves you dearly. How you think someone could be here this long? He's dedicated to preach the gospel. That was a decision that he made years and years and years ago before I even knew him. But I'm thankful for that. He's totally dependent on God and His Word. And I'm thankful for that. I know he trusts in the sovereign God. He trusts in God for all things. And I know for those of us who come up here and try to pass on accolades to Him, He's not that kind of guy, because He knows all the honor and glory goes to Him. Amen. Not to him, not to me, not any of us. It's all of us who serve the Lord know that we should do it with that in mind constantly. I think of Him as the under-shepherd. In my situation, He's the great under-shepherd. I know there's a lot of great under-shepherds that have come and gone and that are still here today. And I'm just thankful that He's faithful to preach the Word in season and out of season. That means when it was popular and when it's not popular. And unfortunately today, it's not too popular. And I'm just thankful that He's been a part of my life. He's my best friend. It took me a few years to realize that He was my best friend, next to my wife, of course. But I'm thankful that He likes the same food that I like. We're both thankful for Golden Corral and Empire Buffet. I know where I'd be today if it wasn't for my pastor and for his love for the Lord. And I wouldn't be standing here. So I'm just thankful for that. And I know there's a lot of people here that could come up here and we could spend all day talking about Pastor Tim Schelling, Miss Vicki, and the family. And I just love both you guys. You know my heart for you guys. And you know how I feel about you. And I'm just thankful that I can be a part of the ministry here.
I'll be brief. I found this last night. I was looking and praying about something to say this morning. It's entitled, Be Found Doing Your Duty. The time was the 19th of May, 1780. The place is Hartford, Connecticut. The day has gone down in New England's history as a terrible forecast of Judgment Day. For that afternoon, the skies turned from blue to gray, and by mid-afternoon had blackened over such a density that in that religious age, men fell on their knees and began to beg final blessing before the end came. The Connecticut House of Representatives was in session, and as some of the men fell down and others clamored for an immediate adjournment, this is our pastor, the Speaker of the House stood. One named Colonel Davenport came to his feet. He silenced the crowd and said these words: "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. I wish, therefore, that candles may be brought." When I read that, I thought about our pastor and how often he says to us, be faithful. Always be faithful. It's not the way you lived your life, it's how you ended it up. Being faithful. Folks, as a man has two kids that love the Lord and serve him, because she was the principal in the school that they went to, and he was their pastor. Jessica has told us often when she worked at camp down Hoosier Hills as a teenager, she would watch. And when that old green Chrysler could pull in the driveway, she'd get excited because her preacher was there. As a dad, that's the greatest thing I can find and have, is that my kids love the Lord and love their pastor and his wife. That is such a blessing. Brother Tim and Vicki, if you'd come, please. I want to first say thank you to everybody that contributed, and we appreciate your help in this. Love you.
Amen. I don't know what's in here. Am I supposed to open this up?
Yeah.
Okay. Certificate of appreciation for 32 years of faithful service at Northern Kentucky Baptist Church. This certificate is awarded to Pastor and Mrs. Timothy Schelling. This certificate entitles Pastor and Mrs. Vicki to $1,500 towards the purchase of a new sofa and love seat, given on this sixth day of May 2012. And we appreciate it and thank you all very, very much for your kindness. I want to say a couple of things. One, first of all, is I appreciate all the good things that were said, but as you well know, and as Brother Paul said, that the credit goes to the Lord. Amen. And we deflect that praise to Him, number one. And number two, to Brother Lou and to all of the folks at Tri-County and to their planning and preparation and foresight and vision that God gave them in starting 32 years ago, Northern Kentucky Baptist Church. And then, thirdly, to all of you folks, because unlike our president, I did not go into Afghanistan, and I did not capture or kill Osama bin Laden, and I didn't build the church. You folks are the ones who did it. And there's a lot of foot soldiers and a lot of faithful people that have labored here for many years. And some of you many years, some of you few years, but I thank the Lord for each one of you. And as we all know, this church is not about one person, it's about all of us. And I thank the Lord for every one of us and for your faithfulness. And some of you have been here almost from day one. Brother Roy was back there a while ago, and I think he's the only one here that was here from day one. And Roy Leach and his wife Rhea and their son Colson came the first Sunday of our church in 1980, and they haven't been here all that time. Roy moved away for a while and came back, but many of you have been here for a long time, and we thank God for your faithfulness. Those of you who have come in recent years, God sent you just when we needed you and just when you needed us. And we thank the Lord for every one of us and every one of you. And again, thank you for your kindness. Those of you who gave, I know it represents sacrifice. Many of you struggle from week to week, and you've sacrificed to be a blessing to us, and we thank God for you. Now, I know you're waiting to go downstairs and eat, right? So let's stand together, and we'll have a word of prayer together. Everyone is welcome to stay and be a part of the lunch. We have plenty of food for everyone. And so if you didn't know about it or didn't bring food, that's fine. We'll take care of you. You're our guest. Thank you for being here and being a part of this special 32nd anniversary. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask just before we pray, let's let our seniors go ahead and slip out. Let them go to the front of the line. So if you're a senior and would like to slip out, not senior in high school, if you're a senior, you may slip out, and while we're praying, you can go ahead and go downstairs and line up. Those of you who will get in line behind them, be considerate of others that will come on, follow along behind you. And you can go back a second time around. And if you're visiting with us today, if you're a guest today, you're welcome to go ahead and get down there in the front of the line as well. All right. Brother Lou, why don't you and Miss Sandy's going to be hard for her to slip out, but we'll get you down there too. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you have done in these 32 years here at Northern Kentucky Baptist Church. Thank you for Tri-County Baptist and for Brother Lou and Sandy and for the vision you gave to them even before I was a part of the whole situation. And thank you for their heart for you and heart for souls and heart for following the mandate as Brother Lou so eloquently preached to us this morning. And Lord, we thank you for each of these dear folks here today, many who have faithfully served you and many who were here yesterday working on the property and the grounds, and people today who are downstairs preparing and getting things ready, and teachers who taught classes and folks who worked in junior church and those in the nursery and the children's classes and just so many people that are involved in this ministry. Lord, we thank you, and we are involved in it because we love you, and we count it an honor and a privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for allowing us the privilege of serving you and of serving these dear people. Thank you for the food that we're about to partake of. Bless it to our body, strengthen us by it, and bless our service tonight to follow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.